So Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you pour out, Lord. We thank you for these requests that have been brought before us. And Father God, we want your will to be done in each and every situation that we've heard about today, Father, for the seminary in Indonesia, Father. I pray blessings, and I pray for, like they said, Father, a generous spirit towards this this ask, Father, for this boys' dormitory. Father, we also want to pray for Nizar and lift him up and the people in Syria who are facing so much persecution today, Father. Lord, we give control to you because you are sovereign, and we thank you that we're able to reach out to you like that. And today, Father God, I pray that you would help us by your Holy Spirit, that you would show us what we can take away from these words today. Lord, we thank you that we can come before your table this morning and remember your sacrifice on the cross. And so we want to give you this day, Father. I pray that you would, that we would focus on you, forgetting about the things of this week and forgetting about all the things that are happening in our lives. Lord, today we just want to focus on you. In this time, we want to focus on you. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I should say we are excited that our family will be growing in May at some point. Thank you for announcing that today. I've been trying to decide what I want more. Do I want a boy or a girl more? But Zeke has been waking up at 4 in the morning, so I'm leaning towards girl. and it was good to see that everybody was on time today with the time change. Most people enjoy it, but we parents of young children hate it. I think it's a huge adjustment for little kids. But as we've been studying chapter 9, we've been in chapter 9 for the last couple of weeks. And the book of Acts has been focusing widely on the church, the growth of the church, a lot of the disciples, and then the supporting cast. In chapter 9, we get introduced, or we see Saul, this man who's set on persecuting the church. We see his conversion, and then we see how his life is transformed by believing in Jesus Christ. And we get a glimpse into the power of the gospel and how he's going to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. But then at the end of chapter 9 here, the author, Luke, he switches back to Peter for a little bit. And he's going to tell us a couple of things. So we know that Paul has been preaching, and he started debating with the Hellenistic Jews in Jerusalem. They had this plan to kill him. The believers sent Paul away. They said, you know what? We need you. God has a plan for you. Go back to your hometown, Tarsus. Go away. The church is enjoying this time of peace. It's enjoying this time of strengthening as they live in fear of the Lord, not in fear of the people that are persecuting them, not in fear of all the things that are happening around them and to them. They're not living in fear of that. They're focusing on God. They're saying, I'll go through all these things that are scary. I'll go through all these things that are difficult in my life. I'll go through the persecutions, and I'll give God the glory because I'm going to do what he asks me to do, and I'm not going to live in fear of people. I'm going to live in fear of the Lord and do what he does. And they were also being strengthened by being encouraged by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a major theme in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit has come in power. Jesus Christ said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And we see this as these people go out and they speak boldly in the name of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit in their lives. And they're strengthened by this encouragement. And then they were also strengthened by increasing numbers. People added to the number of believers or disciples daily. And so they were enjoying this time of peace. And sometimes when we read that, we enjoy this time of peace. We think they're just kind of like sitting there around a campfire singing Kumbaya, comfortable, just sort of hanging out. Now we're enjoying this time of peace. Paul's not ruffling the feathers of these Jewish opponents, we'll say, these people who are persecuting us. We're enjoying this time of peace. And sometimes I think that we read that and we think that they're just like sitting there comfortable, but the scriptures doesn't state that at all. Because while this is happening, in verse 32, it says that Peter traveled about the country and he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. So, you know, Lydda's is a coastal city and part of in the country. The church is not sitting idle as they enjoy the peace. They're working. They're going out. They want to share the good news. So Peter's been traveling around. He's been preaching in the churches all over the place. And he comes to this town, Lydda, and he finds this man who has been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. And to put that into perspective, how long he has been laying in bed, I ask you to think about what you were doing 8 years ago. Like right now. Can you remember what you were doing 8 years ago right now? That's a long time. That's a long time. This guy's been laying in bed for 8 years. And in verse 34, Aeneas, Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat." And immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. There's a couple of things that are amazing about this story. One of the things I like to point out here is that as Peter goes into the situation and he encounters this man, he says, "Jesus Christ heals you." Peter uses every opportunity to point to Jesus Christ. Peter takes, you know, he walks into this guy's place. This guy's been laying in bed for 8 years. He hasn't moved. He's been in bed. And he walks in and he says, "Jesus Christ heals you." And he doesn't say anything, "Me, Pete, the great apostle Peter. I'm coming here to heal you. I'm coming here to heal you." No, the power, he knows that the power that is to heal people comes from Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And so he walks into this place and he says, "Jesus Christ heals you." But the other interesting thing that we need to look at the point of why I think Luke writes out this end of chapter 9, is that that Peter is imitating Jesus Christ. This story. If you go to John chapter 5, starting in verse 5, "One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. That means he was paralyzed for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, 'Do you want to get well?' 'Sir,' the invalid replied, 'I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me.'" And we won't spend too much time, but what was happening here is there was this pool of water. When it was stirred up, it was believed that the first person to get put in the water would be maybe healed. This guy was paralyzed. Nobody was able to take him down, so he would always get beat to the water. And he said, you know, Jesus asks him, "Do you want to be healed?" And his response is, "Well, how could I ever be healed? I don't have anybody to take me down to the water." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. It's almost the identical story to what we are seeing in Acts chapter 9, as we see what Peter does to this man, Aeneas. He says to him, Jesus Christ heals you, get up, roll up your mat, or pick up your mat. And immediately, Aeneas picks up his mat and walks. You know, I was actually listening to Pastor Josh preach on this particular text, and some people would say to him, well, that's just a coincidence. And Pastor Josh would say to you, I would believe that if it weren't for what the author Luke writes next. In verse 36, in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and he prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Many people believed in the Lord. And it should sound familiar to something that Jesus Christ did. Again, if you go to Mark chapter 5, starting verse 38. Excuse me. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead but asleep. But they laughed at him. You know, Jesus, he says to them, she's not dead, she's asleep. And they go, ha ha, she's dead, we know that she's dead. We can see that she's dead. You've got to be kidding. They laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. They're almost identical stories. And you know, as we've gone through chapter 9, we see like these dramatic events of Saul's conversion to as he changes his life for Jesus. We see these major turns in his life. And we see how the church, how he grows in power. And then Luke, for some reason, during this time of peace, he decides to tell these stories, and he's actually trying to tell us something. And through these stories, he's trying to tell us something. He's trying to point us to something. And that is that Peter clearly walked with Jesus. That Peter clearly had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because what he is doing here is he is imitating Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul will take on this theme later on when he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And this is an important lesson for us to learn as Christians, because we should be imitating Jesus. In our lives, every day when people look at us, they should see Jesus Christ. how we interact with people, the things that we do, the things that we say, should reflect Jesus Christ. And when Peter comes and he heals these people, and these people are saved, he is always pointing to Jesus Christ. He's never taking on the glory that this is something that he's done. He's always pointing people to Jesus Christ. And the author of Acts is clearly pointing us to that. He walked and talked. And so the question is that, like, who influences us? Because we know Peter spent time with Jesus. We know that Peter walked with Jesus. And we also know that who we spend time with and who we spend invest in and the people that we share our relationships with will impact our lives. And we'll start to behave, or we'll start to have common traits with the people that we most share most of our time with. It's a fact. A lot of my best friends growing up, they're not Christians. Excuse me. My best friends, they aren't believers. My three best friends all live in Calgary. We get together about twice a year, probably. One time they'll come up here, and we try to make a trip out there once a year. So we see each other twice a year, sometimes more. But whenever I spend time with them, we start to say similar sarcastic things. Or, like, I can start to see, I can start to hear in myself, and I can notice it. I can't stop it. I can notice it in myself. I can notice how, like, I'll start, the way that I start to speak or act or behave is different. Because of who I'm spending time with. And this happens. This is important because it should matter to us who we choose to spend time with. And we should definitely be trying to spend the most time with Jesus. And you say, well, how can that be? How can I spend the most time with Jesus? I mean, that it should be a priority in our lives to devote some time to reading scripture, to prayer, to asking and waiting on the Lord. But for a lot of us, we're too busy. There's too many other things that are important to us that we need to get done. There's so many things that are going on, and so we sometimes negotiate with our devotional time or our prayer life or our waiting on the Holy Spirit. We'll negotiate with. I have a Bible. It's called the YouVersion Bible app on my phone, and it's an awesome app. It's got the entire Bible, but it's also got all these different plans that, you know, different devotions that you can choose, different topics that you can choose to read from. But it'll track you, like it'll track how many days you've spent in the app or how many days in a row. Like it'll keep your streak. This isn't the best thing, but I'm competitive, so like I want my streak to be really long. If you don't open it up, like there's one time where I was like sprinting through my house as the clock was approaching 12 o'clock because it'll reset on you at 12, and I think my streak was at like 87, and I got there. And my phone said 12:01. And I opened up the app and it said streak 1 day, and I was like, no! Darn you, Bible app! 87. And that's definitely not the reason to be reading your Bible. But it is an encourager. But this app, it has so many good things. When I know that I am striving my best to encounter Jesus, to devote some of my life to Jesus, is when I'm invested in some of these apps. And I'm looking forward to reading them and completing them and focusing on who Jesus is. The point is that as believers, we should want to imitate Christ. Peter doesn't, he doesn't just imitate Jesus, but he also gives him the glory. So as we see the similarities in these stories, there's also this difference that when Jesus walked in to and saw this paralyzed man, he just said to him, "Get up, take up your mat and walk." Peter prayed, or he gave the glory of the Lord Jesus heals you. When Jesus walked into the upper room and he sent everybody out and he spoke to this little girl, he just spoke to her, "Get up, arise." Peter got down on his knees and he prayed to Jesus. And he said, "Arise, get up." Peter imitates Jesus, but then he also gives Jesus all the glory, because the only true power in healing is through Jesus Christ. There's nothing that we have besides Jesus. And that's the way that we need to be living our life, is to imitate Christ. And Peter says it as Paul takes on that theme, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Peter also says, be holy because he is holy. And what Peter is saying there is to imitate Jesus because he's everything. He's the power. He's the truth. He's the way. And the power that we have as Christians comes through Jesus Christ. And as we come before the Lord's table today, I'll invite the worship team to come back up. As we come before the Lord's table today, we should be asking ourselves, you know, how can I imitate Jesus? The truth is, and something that you need to hear is that each and every one of you in this room is called to ministry. Each and every one of you is called into ministry. The way that we live our life is ministry. Not everybody is going to be called into a pastoral ministry. Not everybody's going to be called into maybe music ministry. Not everybody's going to be called into, church ministry. But the way that you live your life is a ministry. Each and every day, the people that you interact with, that's a ministry. And so don't doubt the truth that you have been called. You sitting here today have been called to a higher and greater purpose than just to walk this life and live the life the way that you want to. You've been called to something greater, something bigger, something higher. And so how do we imitate Jesus? Another thing that I found interesting while I was listening to Josh preach is that he talked about 2 Corinthians chapter 2, when Paul says, "I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened the door for me. I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. As we say that we're all called in to be ministers, and we're all called into ministry, there's going to be ups and downs, and it's going to be hard, and there's going to be times when it doesn't seem like anything's happening. There's going to be times where we're questioning, what are we doing, God? What's the point of this? Paul goes to Troas and he talks about how he didn't have peace there because it was a down for him. But then in the next breath he says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in Christ's triumphal procession. And we think about this as a parade, and we think about the parade today. But this is the interesting thing about what Paul's saying here, because the only parade that ever happened in the first century was when Caesar came back after he conquered a faraway land, and there was thousands of people cheering him on, and he was coming back with a parade. But the parade were the people that he had captured and enslaved in chains, being dragged behind him as people were yelling and screaming his name. And so when we read this verse and we think about the ups and the downs, but Paul's saying, but thanks be to God that we are Christ's captives. That we can be in Jesus's parade as a captive. And that's what Peter is exemplifying in these scriptures. That he has said, this isn't my life anymore, but I'll live it for you, God. I'll go into these situations and I'll pray for healing. I'll go into these situations and by faith I'll tell people to rise up. And that's the encouragement for you today, is that if we want to give our life to God, then we need to be captives of Christ. I'll ask for the ushers to come forward to pass out the emblems this morning. I just ask that you keep your emblems. We want to partake of the Lord's Supper together. If you have given your life to the Lord, then we